as clear as I had hoped initially they would be. Okay. So besides the deoraisas of Bishul on Shabbos, the Rabbanon put in certain gezeros that are very nogeya lemaisa. So Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Yuches, Amud Beis says that you're not allowed to leave a pot on an open fire from before Shabbos. Why can't you leave a pot on an open fire from before Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Lechor should depend on the issue of Shvisas Kelim. Do you not only have to rest from doing Melach on Shabbos? Do your Kelim also have to rest and are not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos? But that, as the Gemara says, that's only according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is concerned about Shvisas Kelim. Beis Hillel is not concerned about Shvisas Kelim. So what about Beis Hillel? The Gemara says, no, even according to Beis Hillel, it is usher to leave a pot on an open fire from before Shabbos. Why? Because of Gzeira Shema Yechata. We are afraid that you may come to stoke the coals. What's the problem with stoking the coals? It sounds from Rashi that the problem with stoking the coals is a Bishul problem. Now, Rabbi Eider points out in his Sefer that it can't be that simple, because we have even if the food is fully cooked, as we'll see, there are situations where the food can be fully cooked, and it's still usser to leave the food on an open fire. If the only problem is that you're going to be mechata and you're going to be over on Bishul, so you can't be over on Bishul anymore. So how can that be usser? So he puts together, again, some other Rashis and some other things, and basically says that, no, Rashi says that the problem is that you're memaher bishul, that's the lashon of Rashi. Rashi is saying the reason why you would stoke the coals. The isser, again, may be a bishul isser, but in addition, it's certainly going to be a havara issue, a making the fire bigger, related to the fire issue. The reason that you're going to do it is because a bigger fire is going to be memaher bishulo. But the actual malacha that's going to happen is in fact a havara issue. Okay, so when does this apply? So the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chof quotes a famous opinion of Chananya. Chananya says, whatever is cooked to the point of Michael ben Jusoi, again, we know what Michael ben Jusoi is. We just had it in our rapid review. Michael ben Jusoi is either half-cooked or a third of the way cooked. Once you've reached Michael ben Jusoi, you are allowed to leave the food on an open fire from before Shabbos, even onto Shabbos, even if it's not, we'll talk about it soon, Garu Fakatam, which is the solution to this problem. Mamish, an open fire, you are allowed to leave it on. Apparently, we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. Why wouldn't you stoke the coals? So presumably what Chananya is saying is that once it's cooked, at least minimally, so you're not going there, we're not concerned. It's edible. Minimally edible, but still edible. And therefore, we are not concerned that there's no reason you're going to stoke the coals anymore. So what's the problem of leaving something on? I can leave my lights on from before Shabbos. And they're keep going on Shabbos. I'll leave the food on the fire. No problem whatsoever. Is that, yes?
We can ignore this until later on, but
like, we probably will. Yeah.
Probably will. Like for like a candle on Shabbos, you can't light by a candle unless there's someone else there to make sure that you don't.
It's a gzeira d'rabbanan, right?
Right. Why don't we apply that here? Like, as long as there's someone else who's saying, like, make sure you don't stoke the coals to be in my bishula. Like, what?
I guess Chazal just assumed that it wouldn't that wouldn't work in the same way. It's not you're gonna have somebody sitting. Again, you have to have somebody standing by the oven. It's not like, you know, sitting around on the couch. Maybe it's a little bit easier. I'm not sure. Okay. Is that only the opinion of Chananya? Do others agree? So that is not so clear at first in the Gemara, but ultimately the Gemara says Andaf Lamed Vav that the Chachamim disagree. And the Chachamim say that even if it's Nispashal Kemaychel Ben Jusoi, so even if the food is partially edible, it is still usher to leave the food on from before Shabbos on Shabbos. At what point is it okay according to the Chachamim? So the Gemara concludes that it's only going to be according to the Chachamim, not just if it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko. Again, from back in, I think, the first year, I mentioned other concepts even beyond Mevushal Kol Tzarko, but only if it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko and Mitztamek Viralo, meaning that increased cooking will in fact be detrimental to the food. Again, as we mentioned, the prime example is Cholent. So Cholent can be Mevushal Kol Tzarko, And then it's tamik v'yafalo. The longer it cooks, right, the better it gets. More gishmak. But there are times, and again, you guess Chalon can probably reach that point also, but there are other foods that if they'll dry out, they'll get bad. So the Chachamim say that again, and again, just in terms of the logic, they say, as long as there's still any potential that the food will become better, so then we have to be concerned that if the fire is open, you may say, oh, you know, I got people coming. I want to have better food. I may stoke the coals a little bit. If stoking the coals is going to make the fire hotter, and at that point, it's only going to make the food worse, of course you're not going to stoke the coals. That's when you don't have to worry about it. So again, that's this famous machlokas, Chananya, and the Chachamim, according to Chananya, again, file this away. This is the key machlokas in this issue, which is known as Shehiya, leaving the food on the fire. Chananya says that once the food is Michael ben Jusai, it is mutter. You're allowed to leave it on an open fire from before Shabbos, no concerns. And the Chachamim say that even if it's Mavushal Kotsarko and it's still going to get better, it is Aser. It's only allowed to be left on an open fire once it is Mitztamek Viralo.
The Chachamim are talking about if it's not Garfu Kotel, I presume.
That it's Mutter.
That it's Mutter.
Right, it's only mutter to leave it on an uncovered flame, right? Meaning that it's not garfakatim. Again, we're throwing around words that we don't understand yet. I mean, I'm sure you guys do, but I don't understand them yet. Until it's mitzamik v'ralo. Once it's mitzamik v'ralo, as long as there's any potential that the food can increase while it's on the fire, then we're concerned. Gzeira shema yechata. Just like it's a machlokas in the sugya, it's also a machlokas in the Rishonim, how to paskin. The Mishnah Brura really summarizes all this in his beautiful little haktama that he has to Rishon and Gimel to make sure that things are clarified for us. The Mishnah Brura writes, right, Upligi Chanane v'Rabbanim dechanane svirle Chanane ol zimatav shokan isparsho k'maychu ben Jusoi, if it's already cooked, appoint Maychu ben Jusoi. Who kechatsi bishulo yeshon kishlish bishulo? Right, we said this all. Mutter lashoso agav bekira fil mina gruf from mina gachol mina ktuma. Uncovered fire is mutter. Lachacham and sirlu nacham say da aser in mina gruf ktuma elav ginis pasha kotzark. If it's fully cooked, it's stomach viralo and it's going to get worse. Da 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 da. Vilo ifshita habaya, and we don't have a machlok. We don't have a clarity in the Gemara how we paskin. Upasku hariv v'arambam lahasho sanak rabbanan dechanan dafil lujos megunah v'atosos pasuk lachsitan v'lahasho dafil gan v'lemshak mochem nusav chananim. So again, we have two dayos: the Rif and the Rambam pask like the Rabbanan, the Rush paskins like Chananim. It says the Mishnah Berurah v'hein ashtei dayos shehu b'shulchan aruch l'shivan zeh. And both opinions are brought in the Shulchan Aruch.
So the Rif and the Rambam hold like the Chacham?
The Rif and the Rambam paskin like the Rabbanan, like the Chacham Kin, yes, and the Rosh paskins like Chananya. Okay. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch. So again, so that's the most basic machlokas within Shehiya. And that is the two dayas in Shulchan Aruch. What about for Ashkenazim? So says the Ramah. It's like the longest machaber ever. Vinagu lahakel kisvara achronon. Says the minag is to be makel like Chananya. A major, major kula of the Rama. What does that mean? If that means is that you do not need to put, again. Well, let's define garf akatim as a blach for now. We'll have to explain how it got there in a few minutes. But if we assume that a blach is the cover of the fire is the blach, that's garf akatim, and then you're allowed to do whatever you want. You're allowed to put it on, according to this Rama. You don't need to put a blech on the fire as long as it is halfway cooked. That's not so hard. Not so hard. According to the Rabbanan, almost every chalent would need a blech. Because it's very hard by a chalent, which is, again, is a thing, certainly the olden days before everybody was using crock pots, that was what stayed on the blech. almost every chunt is mitzdamik v'yaflo, would require it. So according to Chananya, the only way you're going to need a blech is if the chunt is above Yad Soledes Bo. Right, let's leave that out for now. Let's pretend I didn't say that. If the chunt is less than Michael Ben Jusai. Okay. Now what is important is what the Bir Halacha does say. The Bir Halacha is a little bit surprised why we should paskin like the Ramah. Because he says, do you know why the Rush paskin like Chananya? Because the reason that the Rush paskin like Chananya is, as the Rush writes, to be pnei Yisrael adukin b'mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. The Jews are so, I'm a Shabbos Kodesh, they're so into oneg Shabbos. U'bevadai lo yishmu lanu al kein hanach lahem. They're not going to listen to us. They want to have their chalent. They don't want to be bothered with garuf v'katum. So leave them alone. Let them. They have Chananya in their back pocket. Let them rely on Chananya. Mashma de mizet de rak mishum de lo ratz olimchos. It sounds like the only reason that the Rush paskined like Chananya because he didn't want to. He's going to be the one putting up the Pashkavel and then having the riots outside. I didn't want to be that. The Rush didn't want to do that. The people aren't going to listen. So Hanach Lehem Yisrael Mutov. Again, I heard to call them Shogigim. But that they have Chananya. So let them paskin like Chananya. So the Rush is the one who paskins like Chananya against the other Rishonim. Didn't give a ringing endorsement to Chananya. He basically said the Jews aren't going to listen to us, so let them have Chananya. Now the Ramah says that is the minug. Therefore, the Bir Halacha thinks that l'chatchila, for those who will listen, l'chora, you should be machmir like the Chachamim. L'chora, you should be machmir like the Chachamim. The Chazanish disagreed. Chazanish.
Like the Rush?
It says, Al Kain Hanach Lehem Ayin Shon.
Hanach Lehem, right, there's two things. Hanach Lehem
Yisrael, Lona, Bina, 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 and then Hanach Lehem. I hear, maybe that's what the Chazanish says. The Chazanish disagreed with the Mishnah Berurah. He didn't think that's what the Rush meant. Maybe that's the Pshat. He didn't think that the Rush meant that people don't care. What he meant is, again, a general rule that we have in life. The rule is that every chumrah leads to a kula. Every chumrah, again, without exception. Because when you're machmir in this, it has to lead to a kula in something else. So what he was stressing was that if you're going to be machmir on this, so then they may not end up having as much warm food. Not that they're going to do it. Not that they're going to violate. But okay, if I can't make a garva kotim, it's too difficult, so I won't have so much warm food for Shabbos. So it's going to be a kula. The chumrah of Paschal, like the Rabbanon, is going to end up being a kula in the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. So he said what the Rosh was saying is that you have to strike the right balance, and therefore it's not worth being machmer at the expense of Yisrael being adukim. They're doing such a good job with Onik Shabbos, let's not throw off the balance by being machmer in this, which may lead them to end up being mekel in that area. Okay, so that's so again, I don't know if one can be machmer like the Mishnah Berurah, certainly would seem to be appropriate, but to paskin for other people, or to assume that people who, you know, remember. I guess it's okay to be on tape, whatever. I mean, there's a certain Rebbe, not from this yeshiva, who I did Shimush and Maris and some other things. And he used to say that the halacha is this, but those are for the people. He goes, but you have to know in the back of your mind that it's ultimately a chumrah. It's like, so for the people who are looking to do everything in their life in the best possible way, so you should paskin this way. Goes, if they're not looking to do everything in the best possible way, goes, then you shouldn't be machbir on this. And then it was particularly Hilchos Nida, that's certainly true. But the same thing is true also. That you can't tell people to paskin. The Ramah says you can be make of the Chazanish, thinks that the Ramah really meant it. The Rush said it. So it seems to be, again, if one has the ability to be machmir, so be machmir. But otherwise, again, it certainly is fine for those who are mekel like Chananya. Okay. So far, so good? Good. So the Gemara says on Yudches Amin Beis that there is an exception to the Isser of Shehiyah. And that is quoted again in this monster Sif Aleph in Mishnah and Gimel, which is what's called Kedera Chaisa, a raw pot. A raw pot can be left on Erev Shabbos. Why? Why? Because what's the concern? Gzeira Shamiyachata, maybe you're going to stoke the coals in order to hurry up and make sure that it's going to be Nisbashel. If you have something which is put on and it's raw right before Shabbos starts, even if you stoke the coals, it's not going to be ready. So why would you stoke the coals? So since the raw food is not going to be ready till Shabbos morning anyway, there's no concern you're going to stoke the coals because there's no way that this food is going to be ready for Suda on Shabbos night. Therefore, if you make it, quote it in Shulchan Aruch as well. It's somewhere in here. Okay, I don't know. Flip through the whole thing while I'm talking or something. Oh, here it is. If you put in a raw piece, mutter kilu haisa kula chaya. So again, he takes it even further a little bit, because even if you have a pot that has other things in it, so the mashal, if you have a pot, if your chalent was up cooking and the vegetables are cooked in your chalent, and then right as Shabbos is starting, you throw the piece of meat in, and there's no way that piece of meat, even if you turn up the fire as hot as it can, there's no way that's going to be ready for Suda Shabbos Balayla. Then that takes the entire thing. You can leave that pot on an uncovered fire. Even according to Chananya, right, it should be a problem. It's less than Michael Ben Jusai. Yes.
You can do that with anything. The meat's like the most kosher in like a acre part of a chair. You could be throwing a potato also.
So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Gimel. Mishnah Berurah doesn't write. I thought Mishnah Berurah, but the Bar Hetiv does write it. Dafka chatichas basar, aval yerek lo mahani. It only works for meat. It doesn't work for vegetables. Again, but I'm not sure that's because of chashivas or if that's just practical. You have to find a vegetable that if you cook it on high is not going to cook. I mean, if you could find one, then maybe that would work also. I'm not sure that he's saying it because it's the ikker of the dish, or if he's just saying that you need, again, you're not going to serve the dish if there's any ingredient which is raw.
You throw one piece of barley, and I doubt that that's going to.
Right, but I don't even. But I'm.
You
I, like,
you put your
correct.
Piece of barley in and then you're done. Like,
correct. Okay. That certainly is true. Again, but I'm not even sure if the Matzias is true. I'm not sure the barley won't cook in an hour. Barley. It probably will.
Barley takes like longer.
But what takes longer?
And then barley takes like, and all the things in the chiller kind of takes a longer amount of time than.
Than the meat? I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
But we have to get the pragmatic people to. Is the what?
But it's possible the potato is not going to be cooked by the time Shabbos dinner is over, Friday night dinner is over. Like, so you put in half a potato, and
if you put in half a potato before Shabbos starts, and by the time the meal 2 to 3 hours later, it's not going to be cooked?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I feel like people would also eat an undercooked potato.
If that's true, then
that's probably buried to the means. Like, it's not
meaning by Yerek, it means something there's Nechal Chai. Maybe. Maybe.
Why are we concerned about being a Ma'ariv Shula for Suda by the day?
That's a good question. I assume, again, it's not 100% clear. I assume that whatever's been left on by that point, we're not worried in the morning that you get the same pressure. Meaning the stuff which is on from, if it's been sitting on the fire for 12 hours, I guess at that point, even if it's mitstamek v'yafalo, you know that it's been cooking still since before Shabbos. But it's not, again, it only applies in this case.
Right.
I guess that's the answer. I literally, I have it in parentheses in my notes. Why aren't we wearing the Shabbos morning yom tov? It says it right here also. I didn't see it explicitly, but I guess that's the svar. That the main concern is for Friday night, when there is that more of the I don't know if time pressure is the right word, but Shabbos morning it's been sitting on, you know, for a minimum of 12 hours. At that point, it's cooked through. Even if it's matzamik v'yafalo, it's not the same concern. What if you have food which is designated for tomorrow? My wife has a menu, and this is being served. We have guests coming tomorrow. Anybody goes and picks anything out of that food, you can't touch that food. So, shouldn't that be the same thing as the Kedera Chaisa? So there are some poskim who are mako, but most poskim seem to say no, and seem to assume that no, lemaisa. If all the other food somehow spoiled or something, you're probably not going to sit there starving Friday night. You'll take some of the food which is designated for tomorrow. If it's unedible, so you don't have that choice. That's Kedera Chaisa. If it's just that in your mind, you know, I have chashuv guests coming tomorrow, I'm serving the roast tomorrow, you can't, don't touch it. That's it's not on the same, it's not on the same, same level. So the pashtus is that would not work as being a kula. I'm sorry, just 1 second. He said it earlier. That was what I was thinking of. I couldn't find it before. And when it comes to the Yerek, he says it in an earlier explanation in the Mishneh Berurah. It's in Sifkatan Tess. But he says that it applies to the Kedera Chais also. He says, Davka Basar Chai, She'i Efshali Shbasal Tzorach Sudas Halayla. Avo Yerek, Ushar Dram Shem Kali Abishal, Mahani Mashu Chai. I don't think he means Kali Abishal in our yesterday Kali Abishal sense. I think he just means that practically vegetables cook more quickly. Okay, I'm sorry, what were you going to say? And then he says, V'chei Mashkot Tzorach Chaticha Chaya is also Basar for the same reason. So again, it was in the Mishneh Berurah also. I just, it was in a previous Mishneh Berurah. Yes?
Are there poskim that say that it's okay to have something that's designated dafka for lunch? Or
are there poskim that are make go like that?
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned
is that like a tzad l'hakel if you see it happening?
Maybe. I'm not sure how you would know, but...
You,
the fact that it's served at lunch doesn't mean that it was designated for lunch. I mean, designated for lunch would have to mean that, like, meaning it's
right.
Not, sometimes, you know, you're sort of, as your things are being put out, like, okay, maybe I'll just save that for tomorrow. You know, it's not always, and, you know, since we won't talk about it now, it's not our topic, but, you know, working off a menu is a serious halachic Hilchos Shabbos problem. So presumably she's not using a menu. So it's a matter of what's in your mind. Correct. I assume it would be. I assume, but again, we're talking about something which is being left on the fire, so you have to know that it was designated for tomorrow and left on the fire without a blood. Again, I don't think it's such a practical concern. But, okay.
Non-practically, it's b'dieved.
Yeah, I would assume that could be, Now, practically, what the Bo's going to talk about is, do we have this heter? Do we have the heter of Kedera Chaisa? What are the problems? Why would we not have the heter of Kedera Chaisa? So the Chazanish says we don't have it. He says, why not? He says, we're Mekabel Shabbos early. So maybe it should go by when we're Mekabel Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman says, absolutely not. That makes no sense. No way. Because it goes by Shkia. So he says, so you can't put on the meat right before, and it's always partially cooked before you get to Shkia. What did the Shulchan Aruch mean? Didn't they start Shabbos early? I have no idea. I don't understand that. That's another thing that I have in parentheses. I can't quite figure that out. What exactly they were referring to? Rabbi Eider points out another problem. He quotes from Rav Henkin that also our food cooks faster. Not our food is different. Our fire is different. Our fires are bigger. We can, if you put up, again, even within burners, here, see how We have Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to have a new kitchen in our house in the last year or two. There are different size burners, different BTUs. They produce different heat. Now again, water only gets to a certain temperature, things like that, but it can cook faster. So again, he assumes, and again, it makes sense that as much our fires are cooking at a higher temperature. It's cooking at a higher temperature. The food is going to cook faster, and therefore, if you would pump up, again, let's assume for now that pumping up. But again, in theory, one could have said the whole thing shouldn't apply nowadays. We don't stoke anything. We have knobs. Okay, so Moshe rejects that. He does entertain that for a few moments, but he says that turning up the gas is the equivalent of stoking the coals. We have this, not so far-fetched, we probably would have said that on our own, but again, you could have said, I guess the Gzeira is whatever the Gzeira was. He does not say that. So again, that's another reason that he says that our food would not be able to have this heter of Kedera Chaisa. What case is it? L'chora nogei l'maisa? It's a crock pot. It's a crock pot. Why in a crock pot would it be nogei l'maisa? What's a crock pot called?
Slow cooker.
Slow cooker. Slow cooker. If you put the food on the crock pot, even 18 minutes before Shkia, even if you pump up the crock pot to the highest setting, it will not get to Yad Soledis Bo by the time Shabbos starts. And again, this the poskim seem to assume. Again, the problem isn't, in order to be Kedera Chais, again, what do we consider to be raw? Less than Yad Soledis Bo. It's not hot yet. So again, this concern that the Chazan Ish had, that we shouldn't be able to rely on Kedera Chais anymore, because we have this gap. Again, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, a little bit worse. You have your 40 minutes that is going to be...
Sorry, I texted a few. Halat is having a issue or something that when you finish the work, if you could give him a call over there.
Okay, sure. Okay,
thank you.
Is that my phone's going to ring you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't look, so okay, thank you.
You don't want to pause for
I don't think it's that kind of issue. I think I know what the issue is. It can wait a half hour, I think. If he calls again, maybe I'll pick up.
In order to be
considered to be that some cooking has happened. So again, the problem would no longer be Kedera Chaisa, not if there's fire under it. Obviously, there's fire under it. You can't be mitzamtzim that you're just turning on the fire the second before Shabbos. The point is that it has to be raw when Shabbos starts. What does raw when Shabbos starts mean? It means that it has, again, it doesn't take that long. If you put a pot of water with a fire under it, it can heat up in 10, 15 minutes. Not a crock pot. The crock pot will start to heat up, but the insides of the crock pot will not be. Sorry. No, I'm all nervous. That wasn't a real up. Okay. yeah. So again, so there by the crock pot may be the opportunity to be able to be makil and rely. Again, I'm not talking about any other shilohs yet about crock pots. That's the coming shiur. In terms of shahiya alone, this is sort of leaving on an unopened on an open fire. L'chora, there is room to be makel if you're going to be, if you put the whole chalent up right before lich benching. There's no way that chalent is going to be yad soledis bo when shkia actually comes, and therefore you could rely on the kedera chayis. So there's no way it will be ready. No matter how high you put it, it's not going to be ready for the Friday night meal. And l'chora, one could be mako like that. Yes.
Well, the Chazon Ish was saying that we don't have this heter today for people only in the case where you start Shabbos early or at any time.
Oh, we always start Shabbos early.
We start 18 minutes early.
So. How long does it take for a pot to heat up to the Yad Soledis Bo?
Okay, so if you're running late and you put up 2 minutes before Shabbos and light candles the last second.
Yeah, then you can rely on it. You have two separate Shabbos issues and things like that, but yeah. L'chora, if you're not going to Mekabel Shabbos early and you're going to wait till the last second, then yeah, that would be the case of the Kedera Chaisa.
And Rishlomo Zalman said it just goes by.
Rishlomo Zalman, again, he wasn't weighing in on whether or not we have the Heter B'man Hazeh. He was just weighing in. There was a Rav who wrote that it should go by Yer Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore there's no concerns at all about the Arkadir Chayus is no different. You don't have to look at Shkei, you just look when you're Mekabel Shabbos. And on that, he writes in Tzimicha Shlomo, Chelek Beis, Simen Lamedalad Os Tes, that it, from his perspective, it seems clear that it depends on Shkia Sachama and not Bizman Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay? Good. That is the first half of Shehiya. When is Shehiya permitted? When something is not Garif HaKadosh. Again, if we're Mekil like Chananya, which again the Ramah is Mekil for, then there will be situations in which you can, again, as long as it's more than halfway cooked, then you could in theory leave it even on an open fire. If you're going to be Machmer for the Rabbanon, which the Mishnah Berurah can suggest is more ideal, then you're almost always going to have to put it on, because again, it's very rare to have something that you're going to leave on the fire from before Shabbos. That's mitzdamik viralo. That's going to get worse and worse. And this heter that we had of Kedei Rechaisa, of the raw meat being thrown in, seems to be that would really only apply in a crock pot that's put up right before Shabbos, that you can guarantee 100% that at the moment of Shkia Sachama, it is not yet Yad Soledis Bo. Okay. The Gemara does say that we do have a solution. What's the solution? Is that you can leave things on a fire as long, again, even market islay, meaning in whichever situation in which you're going to forbid it, whether Chananya or Rabbanan, if it is Garuf Vikatim, either if the coals are scraped to the side or if they are covered. What's the purpose of Garuf Vikatim? What does Garuf Vikatim accomplish? Rashi sounds like the purpose of the Garuf HaKatam is the same in both cases. So when you're taking out the ashes, the coals, what's the purpose? Obviously it makes it cooler. So just covering it also is about making it cooler. The Ran quotes Rashi and disagrees and says, no, the purpose is that it should be a heker. It should be a reminder that there's something here which is covering the coal. Now I'm not going to stoke them anymore. Again, the Gzeir Shem Yechata presumably is not for the Rishoim who want to stoke the coals anyway. That somebody's going to forget. There's a lot of pressure in the kitchen. I want my food to be good. I have to impress people. I want to make sure I cover Shabbos. Adukim be'oneg Shabbos, you know, Klal Yisrael. I want to make sure that it's good. So I want to make sure that it's good, that I may slip and forget and stoke the coals. So if I have something covering the coals, that will serve as a reminder. Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Gimel and Rishon and Gimel that if you have a chalent, again, more or less he's saying, if you have a chalent which is burning Shabbos morning, so you can take a pot and mashkim aboker v'rashik ticha tavshilo, right, you wake up in the morning, the chalent's burning, yare penek diach yosef, is going to burn more, yachal lahasa, you can take rof, ulaniach kadera yeshana rikanes al pi akira, you can take a pot, and I guess and flip it over, and on top of the pot, put the chalent. So what does that accomplish? So Mishnah Berurah says the empty upside down pot is Garuf Vikatum. Moshe says it's based on this that we have a blech instead of taking our pots and putting them upside down. We have a blech, piece of metal. I assume everybody's seen a blech at some point, even though they're not as commonly used anymore with all our other contraptions that we now have. But he does say that's where the blech comes from. The Shemir Shabbos quotes Rishon Mazalman as saying that's always been the practice in Yerushalayim to use a piece of metal as a blech. Chazan Ish. As opposed to an inverted pot. Chazon Ish did not like this because he didn't think it's the same. Why not? Because the upside down pot creates a space. If there's a space, what does that do? Lowers the heat. What did Rashi say the reason for Garuf HaKotim is that it lowers the heat. The Chazanish says, it's not the same thing. If you put a flat blech on top of the fire, it doesn't lower the heat. It spreads the heat a little bit, but the spot on top of that fire is just as hot. So you haven't accomplished anything. If you hold like the Ran, that it's about Heker, okay, good, you have a Heker. You certainly have something reminding you, but you don't have anything which is lowering the heat. Aye, what about the Ran? So he says, no, the Chazanish thinks even according to the Ran. An upside-down pot, that's weird. You ever go into get eggs in one of the stores over here? What do they make the eggs on? A flat piece of metal. A griddle. What does that look like? Looks like a blech. He says it's not clear that that's even a heker, according to the Ran. The Chazan Ish does not like the blech. The Minag Yisrael, I believe, is not like the Chazan Ish. It's like what Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, and to assume that a blech accomplishes Garuf HaKotim, and that, which again I think emerges also, which is important, is that Be'ika we paskin like the Ran, and that the main purpose of Garuf HaKotim is that there should be a heker. Now, our situations are a little bit different, right? Because normally, how would you have stoked the coals? You'd be touching the fire, right? You'd have to put your stoker, I don't know, whatever you use to stoke the coals, into the place where the fire is, where the coals are, in order to do the heat. If you want to adjust your oven, your stovetop, how are you doing it? You're not touching the fire. You're touching the knobs. The fire is over here, and the knob is on the front over here, or on the side over there. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. So Moshe writes that he thinks that the ikar is the flame, because that's what you see. And that's enough of a heker. That's where you're looking. You're seeing the pot. And then you'll see the, you'll remember not to do the knobs also. He says, L'ravcha de milsa, you can cover the knobs also. But mi'ikar adin, covering the knobs would not be enough. The more important thing is to cover the dials. Rabbi Eider, on the other hand, brings down...
What's the difference between that and that?
What did you say, what?
You said dials?
The Ravcha de Milsa cover, it would not be enough to cover the dials.
Instead you have to cover
the fire. According to Rav Moshe, the Iker is on the fire.
But potentially, even though Rav Moshe doesn't say it like this, if you cover the knob, you could just leave like a regular fire, like open fire.
You might have thought that because that's where you stoke. Yeah. That's what Rav Aaron Cutler says. Rabbi Eider quotes Rav Aaron Cutler saying, where do you stoke it? You don't stoke the fire. You don't put your hand on it. You never touch the fire. What do you touch? Okay, not him either. Okay. See, I should just left it in my office. What do you touch? You touch the knobs. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler said that you should cover the knobs. You don't even have to cover the fire. So we assume that it is best to cover both, but I think the ikar is that we paskin like Rav Moshe, and the more important one is the fire. What's a major nafkamina? Major nafkamina lemaisa between Rabbi Aaron Cutler and between Rav Aaron Cutler and between Rav Moshe is the inside of an oven. The inside of an oven. If you want to leave food in the inside of an oven Friday night, again, let's leave thermostat issues out for now. Let's assume that it's not, your oven's on, but it's not going to affect the thermostat if you open up the oven. According to Rav Aaron, what do you have to do? You just have to cover the controls, whatever the controls are. Cover the controls. Garuf HaKotim, doesn't matter if your food is a Michael Ben Yusuf, it's Tamek V'Yafalo, you can put the food in, not a problem. According to Rav Moshe, what do? You have to cover the fire. Ah, you'll say, well, the fire is covered. That's not a heker. Even though you don't see the fire in the oven, that's the way the oven always is. And Rav Moshe says, yes, so Rav Eider says, according to Rav Moshe, the only way to do it would be to put an oven insert. They make these boxes, you probably don't see it ever. For Pesach, when Rav Moshe thought that without a blowtorch, there's no way to kasher an oven, that was in the That's what he used to recommend, like probably those some who still do it, was to put in an oven insert. And then you actually have something physical, physical barrier inside of the oven. Why? Again, because the fire is always covered. So Maisa, how can you leave food in the oven on Friday night with the oven on? So again, if you paskin like Chananya, then it's fine. As long as the food is more than Michael Ben Jusai's. Again, most of the time when people are leaving food on Friday night, the food is fully cooked. They just want to leave it on 200 or whatever, a warming temperature, which again is hot. It's above Yad Soledis. It's certainly a valid, a real heat source. Yeah, but the food is getting better. It's better hot. It's not getting worse if it stays in there for longer. It could probably stay in there for 5-6 hours and be just as good, if not even better. You know, potato kugel at that temperature, you can leave it in for till Shabbos morning. You know, it'll only get more geschmack. Overnight potato kugel. So if you rely on Chananya, say you're okay, because you don't need you can leave it even if it's not garfa katam. So even if the controls are uncovered, and even if the oven walls are normal, you're okay. If you want to be machmir for the opinion of the Chachamim, and mitzvah v'yafalo, and you assume like Reb Moshe, you're kind of stuck. Right? You don't really have a very good option of how you can make the oven garuf v'kotum.
So according to the Chachamim, with garuf and kotum, it's fine, right?
Correct. Correct. Okay. Similarly, maybe.
So what Moshe said inside the oven, just to clarify that he said that what are we supposed to do, that you should use.
There's no way to make the oven garuf v'kotum. The only way to do it would be to insert something additional into the oven that would be like some sort of box or something like that, which would cover the walls, because again, you need something which is covering that which is normally covered. So practically, if you don't have one, there's no way to do that according to. Again, Me'ikar Adin, it seems like we do paskin like Chananya. Again, the Ramah says you can make it like Chananya. The Chaznish sounds like, well, you can make like Chananya also. It's not terrible, but if one wants to, again, it is concerned with the opinion of the Chachamim, it sounds like you're a little bit stuck if you assume like, I guess, if you want to be concerned with the opinion of the Chachamim as a Chumrah, so maybe you can cover the dials, and according to Baron Calder, at least it's also Garif HaKotah, meaning you'll be paskening like Chananya, that you don't need it. But as a bonus, at least according to Rabbi and Cutler, it's even Garif HaKotum, and then you get the Chachamim that way. Maybe that's if you want to sort of stick them together. Even though we care, then we certainly don't assume like Rabbi and Cutler that it's enough to cover the knobs. Yes.
If you're doing that, like, if in general you're holding like Rabbi Moshe, and in general your mach would like to cover the fire but not the knobs, we're doing it just in this case when like for the one Shabbos. Your black is broken, so you're using the oven instead.
Again, if you really believe that the halacha is like the chachamim, then I don't think you should rely on our baron kather. If etzem you know that the halacha is like Chananya, but you try to do things in a better way in your house, but you're stuck. Yeah, the mushroom when it came to my house, and I thought that was fine to rely on Chananya, and normally we don't. It's just. Personally, was when the oven was. How did Pesach come out again?
Friday Shabbos. Sunday.
What was the second day? So for the second day, so it was in that case. So my wife needed the oven on for Friday to use it again with the Shabbos modes and everything else. Maybe the Shabbos mode. Maybe is the equivalent of Garfa Kutum according to Baron. I'm not sure about whether we would say that or not, because it sort of, you know, disables the controls. Not exactly, but sort of. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But she wanted a way to keep the food hot for Friday night. So the only way, and again, we had an issue with our hot plate that we would normally use broke. So we didn't have that option. So again, so I thought again, Maker, then we assume like the We assume like Hananya. So nice. So I thought that it would be okay to leave the food in from before Shabbos. Again, just take all, and then once you open it, take all the food out because of the thermostat issue. And which again is a little bit beyond what we're going to talk about. And rely on Hananya because again, a maker at the end of the halacha is certainly like Hananya.
Can you talk about Hatmona?
Yeah, because that
closing the
afterwards.
Right.
So we'll have to get to that. Okay. Based on this, I really want to finish up. Okay. Based on this, today we didn't have the extra time, so I use it for the rapid review. The based on this, an interesting question emerges again, and maybe it's not me or I didn't question, but it certainly makes sense. Is if you're going to assume like Rav Moshe, that whatever is normally in place does not serve as, you know, cannot serve as a hecker because that's what's normal. If you have, let's say, a crock pot, you only use it for making chalent, so you leave whatever your, and you put a blech with your hot pot, with your crock pot, and you leave your blech there from week to week, so does that undermine the blech?
Because
you know, let's say you have, we'll take, you know, you guys know what the West Bend crock pot is? It's the one that just has a flat bottom, and then you put the pot on top of it. For Hatmana reasons, it avoids a lot of the problem. That's all we have at home. Good. West Bend is the company that makes it. Again, it doesn't have all the milos because the heat's taka not coming on all the sides.
No, we'll get it in your registry.
Right. You go to West Bend, you get to the Judaica stores even. Maybe even Amazing Savings at this point. So what we always do is we put a piece of foil on the bottom as the blech, and again, and then we don't have to worry about any of the, even though my chalent's been going since Thursday night, you don't have to worry about any of these questions. So if you leave the blech there from week to week, so what purpose is the blech serving anymore? It's almost like the oven. So again, I don't know. It may be more of a hashkafic point. I'm not sure that's a problem. It is brought down, though. And again, it's really the same point, which is, let's say you put the blech on, and then you lift the blech, and you put your blech on, and you cover up your, use it to cover the knobs also. And then before Shabbos, you lift up your blech, and you start adjusting at the right temperature. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the blech? Because you're no longer looking at the blech as the obstacle or the reminder.
You noticed it, and you said in your own mind, "Okay, it's not
so that is that's the alternative." So again, the way Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes, the brought down Shemir Shabbos, Parak Alf, and Nun Dalet, I think again Kuf Behei, Yesha Kasvu. Again, it's hard to say that it's a Me'ikar Adin problem. Sheroi Lihimana Milatapel Ba'esh Lachash Enichla Gabasaki. So that once you put the fire on, you shouldn't play around with the fire anymore. Behind, what does that mean? Shlo Yagdos Alava Vagam Loyakino. So I'm not sure why you add that. You know, to lower it or to raise it. Again, it's hard to say that it's a, you know, Ikar Hadin problem, but if you think logically, it does make sense that, again, so if you could try, again, to, you know, put on the blech, and once you put on the blech, set it up the way it's supposed to be for Shabbos, it seems to be that makes more sense. Yeah.
So, in general, if my mom's minhag is to start on high at, like in the morning, and then
that's what a lot of people do, right?
So, are you stopping not the first Shlomo
Zalman? It's hard to say. It's even like a chumrah. It's more. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to classify it.
Lachora, if you're also covering the knob to be choshish for Ravaran, like would it be good that it only cover the knob?
I think so. Because again, if you're just gonna untake the knob off, right. So again, what you're saying is probably right. Again, you saw it. You made the cheshbon, and said I'm taking it off anyway. But I don't think it's far fetched to do it. Again, others say that really what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman meant was like you shouldn't have like a major change. A minor tweaking, that's the normal usage. But, okay. That's what I said. Okay, what if things are non-adjustable? You have a non-adjustable hot plate. Again, now we're talking about non-adjustable hot plate in terms of Shihi. We're not talking about putting anything onto it on Shabbos. We're talking about before Shabbos. I want to leave my chalent on top of the, what we call the plata, the non-adjustable hot plate. Gets to 4,000 degrees. And we'll heat everything way beyond Yad Soledis and Roslin, and then sometimes worse. But you can't adjust the temperature. So, what's the problem? Right? What's the Gzeir Hashem Yechata? Nothing to be concerned about. So again, that seems to be the majority opinion of the Poskim, that it's already considered to be Garf HaKatum by the fact that there is no ability to adjust it. So L'chora, if you plug in your urn right before Shabbos, again, leaving aside the issue that we talked about with the water inside the measuring thing, but again, in terms of a Shehiya problem, if there's no button on it which changes the temperatures, it's not adjustable, you just plug it in and boils, and then it settles down to wherever it settles. L'chora, that should not be a problem. There is another solution to this that the Ramah quotes, which is based on a Gemara, which is you can be tach betit. And even if you have a even if it's not garuf vikatum, if you again, it seems like they like sort of plastered the door shut, so you can't get to the coals. You didn't actually cover the coals, but you plastered it so that you're not going to be able to open it to get to the coals. That also works because practically you can't get to the coals. So what does that have to do with us? What does the Chazanish say? He thinks that l'chora, if you put a lock, if you put a padlock on your on your oven door, that should serve the same purpose. Again, let's say the oven is not garuf v'katum, but I want to leave my food in even from beforehand. The Chazanish says, if I put a lock on it, that's tach petit. It means it's, the point of the tach petit seems that it's very difficult. I'm not just going to quickly open it up. I have to do something. So that's also a reminder of sorts. Rabbi Willig thought, again, this will come up we can discuss it very quickly now, maybe, with warming drawers. I'm not going to talk about what you could put in the warming drawer. I want to leave something in my warming drawer in terms of a shehiya issue. So again, according to Reb Moshe, what do you have to do? You have to cover the fire. Where's the source of the heat? So again, you guys know what a warming drawer is? Sometimes it's on the right. It's on the bottom. It's a drawer. You pull it out. It's the walls of the drawer, or sometimes the ceiling, are where the heating element is. And the controls are normally not on the drawer. It's on the part which stays inside, like when you have...
inside the drawer,
right? Like over here, if you pull this thing out, that would be the warming drawer, and the controls would be like up here. But you normally can't get to the controls until you actually open the thing up. So what do you need to do in order to make that? And they are adjustable, right? Different heat. So what do you do in terms of garuf, in terms of making a garuf katum? So Rabbi Willig thought that you should do two things. Again, in terms of Rav Moshe, he said you should line it with foil. Lining it with foil is different. Normally when you're getting to the heat source, you already see it. And here, the hecker's only going to be after you open the drawer and then the control's already there. So he was a lot more concerned that it's not a normal case. So therefore, Rav Willig thought you should line it with foil and have the foil sticking out over the front of the warming drawer. And that way, as soon as you get to the warming drawer, before you open it up, and then you're already at the heat source, you're at the knobs, you're at everything, you already have a hecker there. And then, he also thought that maybe on the controls, again, I guess because it's a little bit of a weaker garifikatum. So he said that maybe to bolster that, you should be tach betit over the controls. How you tach betit over the controls? He thought if you tape them well, multiple pieces of tape. Said if it's one piece, then you just have to pull it right off, or it's just a soft cover that you just, you know, take the aluminum foil right off. It's kind of laying there. That's not enough. But if you put a few pieces of tape on it and you have to start, you know, muchying in order to play it, so maybe that's tach betit. And if it's tach betit, then even if the garuf v'katum is not good, or even if it's not good enough the way you put the foil in, that will work. So he thought that was the solution for doing shehiya in the warming drawers.
The foil is not covering the heating element, though.
It is. If you cover the whole bottom.
Isn't the heating element in the side? I thought it's above it, isn't it?
I think it's both. I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay. I thought it was just like it's just a metal drawer that gets really hot because of the heat of the
oven. So maybe. So if that's true, then I guess maybe that's why he was saying that, that at least if it's sticking out, so at least before you get to the heating element, you see it.
I never use one.
So I could be right. So maybe, but maybe that's the shot. That's why he went sticking out, because that way before you get to the heating element, right, you already have the hacker there. But that's why maybe doing that in addition to the tough batit, because the tough batit can work even without it being garf akatam, would be a good solution. What about removing the dials? How it should work.
Removing?
Take the dials off. How are you gonna adjust it?
Oh, like
in terms of like being like a tough batit. Physically take them off. The Aruch HaShabbos brings some that are makil. It makes a lot of sense, but he definitely isn't 100% convinced that it works. Why not? I'm not sure. It sounds like it's...
You're right, kill you for breaking your stove.
No, I mean, some of them just...
No, you just...
They're popping right off. I don't think they're... again, it depends on the oven. But or the stovetop, whatever it is. Maybe that should work as well. Okay. I think that basically... That basically covers Shehiyah. Have a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov. So Mirtz Hashem, we have to do Hachzara, Hatmana, heating of food Shabbos morning, and what happens when things don't go quite right. I think that's all we have left. Now, if we can cover that in four Shabbos, I'll be very happy, but I'm not sure if we can.
In catering, we used to tape up the ovens right before Shabbos that we were going to use.
Right, on the top.
The side, I'm saying it's like a side open oven.
The one we have in Shul is like the controls on top, and they just taste of tape over the overalls of dials, like one side of the oven to the other. Yeah, which caterers do you work with?
This is like in Baltimore.
I just local.
Yeah.
Okay.